Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thank you so very much for tuning in. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. And yes, we're all the way back in sunny South Florida. It's good to be here and it's good to be back here to bring the show live out of Miami Lakes. So I want to thank all of you all for tuning in as we brought the show from you internationally on last Tuesday. But again, it's always good to be back. And as always, I enjoy my travels. I want to wish everybody a happy holiday season, a Merry Christmas. And I certainly hope that you all are, you've made your wish list and you're certainly getting everything that your heart's desire. And you're also remembering during this holiday season to be considerate of those who are less fortunate. And there seems to be a lot of people out there who could certainly use some holiday cheer, some holiday love, and some holiday concerns. So I just want to send that out there that it would be nice, I think, to think about those who are not as fortunate as some of us are, who have the means to get some of our heart's desires, and we have the significant others who can certainly go out and, you know, we have meals and different things and to make our lives a lot more comfortable. So I encourage all of you all to think during this holiday season, and not just during the holiday season, but all year round, to be considerate of those who may not be in as good a position as you are to make ends meet. All right, having said that, I want to thank all of you all for tuning in each and every week and joining me on the show, whether it's live or sending in comments. We're not sure how much longer we'll do the show, but for now, I'm certainly enjoying it. I have enjoyed it for nearly 7 years, and I mean, this is really my passion, and you might be saying, well, why give up your passion? Well, I'm not saying that I'm going to, but, you know, as with anything, sometimes it's time to move on to something else. But for now, we're going to continue, bringing you exciting shows, as I have been doing. And we have done well over 1,000 shows now in that 7-year span. So our shows have multiplied because we've done them twice. We've done shows twice. We were doing shows on Tuesdays and Thursdays when we first started out. And then I picked up a Friday night show. Then we just went to a Tuesday and a Friday night show. So when you look at the numbers, we've got a lot of shows out there in the archive. So I encourage all of you all to go in and tune in and listen and check out our shows. And I'm sure that there's a show out there that you would be pleased to hear. So check it out and let us know what you think. Thank all of you all also for sending in your comments. Tonight we're going to be talking about something that's near and dear to my heart. And tonight's topic is going to be something along the lines of how to maintain a happy spirit. And oftentimes a happy spirit, people feel that they need others to make their spirit happy. I don't necessarily think that that's the case. I think that people may join in to contributing to your spirit that's already happy. But I think that a happy spirit is something that I personally feel that comes from within. That's what I'm more prone to believe, that a happy spirit is something that comes from within. And I think that when we realize that our spirit, that happy spirit that we have, or the spirit that we have, when we make that conscious decision to say, well, you know what, I'm not going to let anything steal my joy. I'm not going to let anything deter me from having that happy spirit. I think that that's what we have to do. And other people or things may contribute to that. And certainly, if there are things that come along or people that come along that can cause that happy spirit to be negated, I think that that's the time when we should make that conscious decision to say, you know what, I'm going to, rather than allowing this my spirit to be negative, I'm going to cut those people off that may bring negativity in my life. And I certainly trust that this program, the shows that we've done, I certainly hope that they have been enlightening to you. I certainly don't like to come across as a negative individual in doing these shows. And I certainly hope and trust that you're getting the positiveness out of these shows. And sometimes we have to look deep and think hard, you know, and intelligently or intellectually think about some of the things that are presented over the air, whether it's my comments or co-hosts or a featured guest or simply the callers. I think that we have to look deep, think hard and intellectually into what's being said and perhaps what's not being said to help us make good choices, good decisions, wise choices, wise decisions, just like with anything in life. And that's been the image that I've wanted to present over the air. It's presenting you all something whereas you can think about it. And we've always done these shows based on relationships. And so when I'm presenting it out there, it's basically an anticipation or hopes that you will be able to give great thought to your relationship where it can grow in a positive manner. And that's been my dream, that's my desire, my ambition. And that's been the rationale behind me wanting to start the Relationship Broadcast Show. And it's only been to see how I can contribute in a positive way to helping the institution of marriage, help the dating scene actually, in fact, last, or give consideration to things that when you know, that are not so serious in nature as sometimes we think it is. And having said some of that, I think that, you know, tonight as we talk about how to maintain a happy spirit, I think that we become, as humans we become so emotionally involved in our own feelings that when we do have discussions with a significant other, when we do have a conflict or a disagreement with a significant other, I think what begins to happen is because we personalize it so hard, we take it to heart so much that it could be something that causes us to have a reaction to the words that have been presented by a significant other. It causes us to have a certain feeling about the person who's making the comments about us. And oftentimes what ignites this is the thought that that comment has been a negative comment. And perhaps it was intended to be a negative comment, but it's not so much only what has been presented to us, but it's oftentimes our reactions to that which is presented. And I often find that if you give a person your power by allowing them to upset you, then you're giving them clearly your power. You're relinquishing part of your spirit to adapting to their ideology or philosophy or what they've said, and that gives them seemingly power over you. So tonight, as we talk about how to maintain a happy spirit, one thing I'd say clearly is be mindful of how you perceive, how mindful of how you interpret, and how you accept and allow that which someone is presenting to you to enter into your spirit to make you feel a certain way that could possibly cause you to feel negative, you know, have some negative thinking. We're going to present in tonight's story how these best friends, one may have contributed to the other one's low self-esteem when she felt, when the one party felt that her friend was so negative, but others tried to tell her, but she couldn't see it at time. So we're going to get to that story in just a moment. So you just join us, of course, whether it's by internet or by phone. You can tune in at drjessewalker.com or drjessewalker.com. Either one of those will do. So tonight we're talking about how to maintain a happy spirit. And it's often been said, and of course I read up on the subject of personality traits, things of that nature, and the psychology of being human. And it's often said that it's not, again, what's necessarily being presented, but how we perceive and interpret and allow and accept those things that are being said to us that gives weight or credence or power or even relinquishing a portion of our spirit to someone else by, you know, just taking on that feeling. For example, if someone calls you a name, then now when you may have been happy all of a sudden, and it depends on who's saying this, and you know, all of us have emotions, men and women, and if we allow our emotions to get sometimes the best of us, then I think that adds to our stress level, and it can also be damaging to our health. And so stress seems to be a strong thing now in the medical world, I'm told, that can cause people to have some disturbances and illnesses. I want to go to the phone lines early tonight just before I get into tonight's story. I want to go to the phone lines just for a second and clearly get some intake from another perspective on their comment. And get their perspective and on what they think about the prospect of maintaining a happy spirit. I just want to, we're going to go to the phone line and take this call right now. We're going to go to 954-122. Who do we have on the air?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thanks for joining us this evening. And just before I go to tonight's story, Rose, I want you to tell me, why is it so important that someone should maintain a happy spirit? And how do you do that, in your opinion? How does somebody maintain a happy spirit, and how do you do that?
Oh, okay, Dr. Walker. I do believe it's very important for everyone to maintain a happy spirit because definitely it affects your health. In every way, it affects, your spiritual health. It affects your physical health, you know. And so when someone is not happy, you know, that stress can lead to other ailments in their body. And that's what I really believe. So it's very important that everyone kind of take a stock of themselves and kind of know who they are, know what makes them happy, and know what stresses them out, what stresses them out. So if someone realizes that another person is causing them too much stress, I think it's important that they kind of analyze that friendship or that relationship and determine and weigh the consequences and what is more important, your health or a friendship, your health or relationship. So it's important because you're going to be ruining your spiritual health and your physical health if you are too stressed out or if you are not happy. So I believe it's very important that everyone take a stack and find out for themselves what makes them happy, what gives them joy, what gives them stress, so they can know how to go about their daily business.
I think that that's a very important point that you made, Rose. And I agree. Everyone needs to take stock of their own lives and realize that the impact that we allow our spirits to be damaged, it can affect our, I believe it can affect our physical health, you know, our body, and our body can begin to, it can take a serious toll on other areas of us, our lives, and, you know, how we think, and it can affect, I think, ultimately our self-esteem. Well, let me go to tonight's story and the friends in this story. These are two best friends, Cal and Daisy. They are our characters in tonight's story. Cal and Daisy had been best friends since elementary school. They're now in their late 20s, and for a specific reason, they have now cut that friendship. The reason for this is because over the years, Cal has finally realized that Daisy is a pessimistic friend who finds everything and every reason to be negative. This has seriously affected Cal in the past relationships because she had previously refused to believe what her significant others at the time were telling her when they would tell her that Daisy had such a negative impact on Cal. Now, Cal would often find herself defending Cal because, after all, they were best friends until she had three of her prior relationships absolutely just walk out on her for virtually the same reason. Yes, Daisy. Now that Cal is alone and not dating anyone and hasn't dated anyone for over 6 months, she's now seen things for herself and has approached Daisy on numerous occasions about her negativity. But Daisy has somehow put it back to Cal and told her that she is not to blame for the demise of her broken relationships and now her feelings of an empty spirit. Well, this really caused Cal to see things as they are from a different perspective about her friend Daisy. Cal is seriously now depressed and feels her spirit is so low that she can't possibly enjoy the upcoming holiday season. Daisy has since bonded with another friend. So tonight I start my question out with, and Rose, I'll present this question to you first and foremost. Is it really Daisy's fault that Cal is now so depressed for this upcoming holiday season? Is it really her fault? And were her past relationships right that Daisy is this pessimistic person and impacted her?
I really don't think it's only Daisy's fault. It's both. I think Carol has to take responsibility for what she allowed Daisy to do. Okay, so Daisy can only go as far as Carol allow her to. So therefore, I would say it's more Carol's fault than Daisy's. Carol should have taken stock of the relationship or the friendship between her and Daisy a long time ago. And the fact that the first relationship told her and pointed it out to her, even then, if she hadn't seen it before, she should have now started taking stock. The second relationship pointed the same thing out to her, and apparently she also ignored that. So I think Carol is to be blamed for where she is right now.
Well, Carol is obviously, I agree with you, because Carol somehow or another allowed this to go on. And you mentioned the first relationship that may have presented that very concern to Carol at the time. You know, it's kind of hard when one person is telling you that, because they may have ulterior motives. So that person may have been saying that, but it's hard when we're in something because our emotions are attached to it, like as the case with Carol and Daisy. And so by them being so close, if Carol's prior significant other, the first one, was telling her that, then she may feel that his ulterior motive is there may be some envy or some jealousy that's orchestrated there somewhere, which makes her feel like, oh, I'm spending more time with Carol and not giving him, Carol's spending more time with Daisy and not giving him his quality time. She could possibly be feeling that way. Or it could very well be that he just wants her to, you know, sever that relationship that she has with Daisy for whatever reason. Or he feels genuinely that Daisy is not a true friend. She's very negative. And, you know, the question goes to you all out there who are listening. Do you have some friends who you may not see that they have a negative impact on you? Has any of your significant others told you that, you know, I think this person has such an influence on you that you can't see it? Are you looking at it from a perspective that do they have ulterior motives? Or could they be genuine in what they're saying to you? I mean, there's a number of things that can certainly be addressed or asked when it comes to these things. So once again, you're listening live to the Dr. Jess Walk Show. Tonight we're talking about how to maintain a happy spirit. If you have some suggestions on maintaining a happy spirit, we would love to hear from you. You can press 1. And should you just have a happy spirit during the upcoming holiday season? Or should you have a happy spirit all year round? And if so, how does one do that? How does one maintain a happy spirit all year round? You know, and why is it that people get so excited during the holiday season, especially during the Christmas season, it seems? Why do people get so excited when they're spending so much more money during that time of the year, perhaps, than other times? Rose, let me go to you and ask that question. Why do you think people are they happy to spend money? You spend money in January, February, or any other months. Is it spending money that makes people happy? What do you think? Why are people so excited during this time of year? But at the same time, there's tension when you go into the stores and driving. I don't understand that.
I think it's the festivities of this time of the year. So kind of drive people to want to shop. And some people just love shopping, like myself. You know, it doesn't even have to be a holiday season. Some people just enjoy shopping, and then with what seemed to be sale during that time, I think it just excites people and they go out shopping. Some people just love giving also, okay? So they enjoy going to buy gifts for their loved ones and just to see the look on their faces when they open the gifts. So that might be something that also drives people to go ahead and go shopping during this time, during the holiday times. I think it's just a joyful time, a joyous time for a lot of people when it comes to the Christmas holidays.
All right. I thank you for that, and I tend to once again agree with that. It's a joyous time, and people get excited about it to go out and spend money doing something for someone else. And it seems that we always have a lot of human interest stories around the holiday season, especially the Christmas season. And why can't we have that spirit all the time all year round. Let's go to the phone line and get another call. 205-908. Who do we have on the air this evening? And welcome.
This is Jack.
Welcome back, Jack. Thank you for joining us, Jack. Jack, what do you think? How does a person maintain a happy spirit? And what's causing people to be excited just basically during the holiday season or the Christmas spirit?
Well, how do you maintain a happy spirit? I think it's something that you have to, not necessarily force yourself, but you just got to more or less just be happy. I mean, what's the songwriter say? They say, don't worry, be happy. Just don't let things bother you and you know, just keep a level head, keep your head above water and all. I was reading today, matter of fact, on the internet where it said that someone said that they love this time of year because everyone seemed to be so happy and so giving. And like Rose was saying, you know, people just love to give around this time. I mean, they seem like they come out of that shell somewhat, that they want to donate. You see a lot of people out there, Salvation Army. You see the Girls Club, you know, selling stuff, things like that, and people are so giving. You even see people out there and gathering and soliciting and all. And people love just giving during this time. But a happy spirit, something that you just have to keep telling yourself, I'm not going to let this bother me. I'm not going to let that bother me. I'm not going to be stressed out over anything. I'm just going to have a happy spirit. That doesn't mean that you don't get angry, because the Bible even talks about that. It says, get angry, but sin not. But for the most part, I think we should be happy the majority of the time. You see people walk around sometimes like they're mad with the world, and then they're calling themselves Christians and all. But why act that way if you're supposed to be loving and kind and gentle and meek and humble? Then you're going to show that good side, that spirited attitude and all. You're not going to come with a dry or spirit of discontent and all of that. You're just going to show the happy side. And I think, and I love being around happy people. I don't like being around people that are negative and constantly causing problems and just seem like they're so unhappy. Just because they're bitter is not going to poison me to be that way or cause me to be that way, because I'm basically a happy person. I love being around people that are happy.
Okay, well, Jack, I think that that's a great perspective. So if I'm hearing you correctly, you and Rose both, happiness basically has to be a decision. It's something that comes from within, maintaining that happy spirit. Is that fair to say that it's something that comes from and not letting the external things bother or stress us out? Is that pretty much fair?
That is correct. That's fair. That's basically what I'm saying as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but how does someone, how realistic is that? Let's say you're married, you're dating, or your boss gets on you on occasion. How do you not allow, I mean, you know, what defense can you use, mechanism?
That is going to happen because you're going to get on each other's nerves, but it's how you deal with it. See, because you got to pick your battles. You can't let every argument, you know, be a cause of discontent. You guys got to, some type of way you got to work it out. But now what I would do, I will say, well, is this something that I feel like I need to address? And then if I don't feel like I need to address it, I'm not going to address it. So, you know, you can't argue by yourself. That's what my mom used to say. So you let that go. You just let it go. Let it roll off. Just let it roll off. Don't allow everything to be an argument. And some people are just argumentative. That's just their nature. They're just going to want to argue about the least little thing. Anything they can find something to pick a fight with or an argument with. But you don't allow yourself to get to that point. I think being that way, like you're upset all the time, I think that can rub off somebody if you allow it to. But I think also if you show the kindness and the gentleness, that can eventually rub off too. The saying is that you can kill a dog with kindness. You just show that person that you're loving and you're kind and you're gentle. Now, eventually that's going to rub off on them, eventually.
Okay. You think that there's always exceptions, that you can have someone who may be a negative friend, that no matter what, that person mm-hmm. is almost like embedded in them, that they're not willing to even make a change because they don't see themselves being problematic at all. So
that's right.
What do you do in cases like that, Jack?
When they're problematic like that?
Yeah, but they don't see themselves as problematic.
Sometimes you may have to let them know. I think if a person is constantly causing havoc and causing problems and all, and you're trying to not get involved with that foolishness at all, and this is where they're just very combative and all of that, you just let them know. I'm not going to be poisoned by your bitterness. I'm not going to allow you to take me there because this is not what I'm about. Okay, just let them know. That could be your boss. Hopefully it's not your significant other, but it could be. But it could be a friend that you consider a friend, but just let them know. And I think we do a disservice sometime when we let people treat us any kind of way and we don't come back and share with them, you know, how we feel. So you have to let people know how you feel. I'm not saying be disrespectful, or I'm not saying be harsh. There's a way that you can say things to people, okay, that should be able to get your point across. And as being adults, we should be able to say things one to another. Sometimes people don't want to hear what you have to say, but you still say it anyway, especially if it's involving you. If they're being negative towards you or causing problems with you, then you have to let it be known, because later on, it's going to come out some type of way. Some type of way is going to come out down the line, so you might as well tell them earlier rather than wait until, you know, it causes a main problem down the line.
Okay, well, Jack, let me ask you this question. Well, let me go to Rose first and ask this question to her. I've often, and then Jack, we'll come back to the same question with you. I've mm-hmm. often heard people say, well, we need to develop thick skin. What does that really mean, Rose? And me and Jack, I'll bring the question back to you momentarily. To develop thick skin, and why is that so important, especially in your relationship with your significant other and your boss?
I think when I hear that term, I think of not letting everything bother you. So therefore, developing a thick skin is to not get upset over every little thing. We have to realize that we cannot control what people say, okay? But we can control how we react to it. So like Jack said earlier, don't argue over everything. Sometimes you need to just ignore certain things. And the Bible tells us that it's okay to be angry and sin not, but it's also said a soft answer turneth away wrath. So mm-hmm. I think when we develop that thick skin, we can probably kill somebody with love or with goodness, you know? And that person eventually will realize that you're not giving in to everything he or she says. You're not giving in. You're not allowing them or giving them the power over you to always argue. And I think that will send a message to that person. That person eventually will stop. But I think we told ourselves to make sure that we develop that kind of personality where we know when not to respond to something, or we know when to just let something roll off. And not attack a person because of, you know, not be like that person, so to speak. You know, be more Christ-like.
I think that's a good way to put it. So that thick skin then is necessary, it appears, that you don't let every little thing bother you. Jack, do you agree along those lines too, and what would you add to that? If anything.
Well, I agree with what Rose was saying. I do subscribe to that. Because you just can't let everything bother you. You just got to let it roll off. I think I mentioned that earlier. So I've heard that many a times. I remember a pastor sharing that with me about a year and a half ago. You just got to have a thick skin. You just can't let everything bother you at all. I say I'm very much aware. But some things, when it's a personal attack, I think you have to address it, and then you just let it be known, you know, exactly how you feel. Now, that's not in every case. Sometimes, you know, you consider the source. You consider who you're dealing with, and you know how that person is. So say, forget it. I'm not even going to go there. there was a young lady that was working at a school. She was a secretary, and one of the parishioners, one of the parents, rather, came in, and she was just attacking her, just calling her everything but a child of God. So I walked in, and I'm listening to this, and I'm watching how the lady who called herself a Christian, how she was would deal with that. And she didn't say a mumbling word. She just sat there, and she just took all the abuse, the verbal abuse that the lady was saying to her and all. And I was waiting on the principal to come out of the office, but he never did. So after she finished talking and calling her everything but a child of God, she got up out of her seat and walked to the counter where the lady was. Now she said, "Now how can I help you?" Mm-hmm. That lady just melted. She melted. I melted. I said, I just melted. I said, this is, I've never seen it like this before. It reminds me how Christ would act in a situation like that. Let you say whatever you want to say, let you do whatever you want. But when at the end, I'm here for you. And that's how it was. So I'm sure that they became like best of friends, and she never approached her in that way again. Now, everybody's going to say, well, a lot of people are going to say, well, if you treat me badly, then I'm going to treat you badly. Or if you come across to me in a negative way, I'm going to come across you in a negative way. But that young lady didn't do that. She let her say whatever she wanted. And then she came back, and then she was there to address that parent in a very positive way. So that taught me a lot. It taught me a lot. I was just excited to see that, and the way that she responded, and the way that she behaved, the way that she carried herself. And it gave me assurance that she wasn't just saying that she was a Christian. She was acting like a Christian, and she was showing us that she really was a Christian.
Well, you know, and that is an interesting perspective. And you know, I would venture to say that the young lady probably that was calm, that mm-hmm. was waiting to serve the other party, she was probably the one who was perhaps outraged, was probably the one whose blood pressure went up as opposed to the other party. Would you say, Jack?
I would definitely agree, because you got to think about that, too. That's why I'm saying that you can't let things stress you out. You just can't. I mean, because people would try to stress you out. Yeah, that's becoming a major killer and causing people to have heart attacks, stress. Stress is serious, so you have to be careful with all that. That's why I'm saying pick your battles. Pick your battles, even with your boss, your significant other, and others. I mean, you just have to pick your battles. Everything is not argumentative. Everything is not something that you have to address. That you ever heard the saying, silence is golden? Sometimes
right.
Silence is golden. So you have to do what you have to do, because I'm not going to let everything stress me out. People would do that. And they'll be around here walking around while you be somewhere in your grave somewhere, because they stress you out. And they're going to do the same thing to everywhere they go, stress people out. That's their ammo. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm. So that's basically the catch to it is don't let people get to you.
That's right.
Basically, all things are stopped. We're going to take some of the comments that will come in to the studio, and, you know, we can address those. And, Jack, if you want to comment on any of them, by all means, feel free to do so. Tonight we're talking about how to maintain a happy spirit, how to maintain a happy spirit. And I believe, just like it's been said by Jack and also by Rose, that spirit needs to be all year round, not just during the Christmas holiday season, but it needs to be something that's addressed all year round. All right, let's take a look at the first comment that has come into the studio this evening. This female writes in, she says, How to maintain a happy spirit all year round. How to maintain a happy spirit all year round. I can't speak for anyone else, but I think the best way to maintain a happy spirit is to make a daily conscious decision that you're going to be happy no matter what. Jack, you kind of talked about that earlier. How realistic is that? I mean, to make the decision that I'm going to be happy no matter, I'm going to maintain a happy spirit no matter what.
Well, you can't be happy all the time. You can't be. I mean, something is going to get under your skin. Something's going to cause you to be unnerved. So you're going to have to sometimes speak to certain things. But I didn't say get angry. I mean, I don't mean that. I didn't say retaliate. You're going to get angry, but you don't have to retaliate. And you can speak your mind, but you can do it with a clear conscience. You can do it with not being so aggressive and like you're trying to tear somebody's head off and all. But it's somewhat realistic that you can be happy most of the time, but you can't be. I don't think that you can be happy all the time because something is going to get under your skin. Because we do know that, according to the Bible, that Jesus got angry, but he didn't sin. So I'm saying the same thing. I mean, get angry, you know, whenever it's appropriate or deemed necessary, but you don't have to sin or get so outraged with a person.
Okay, I like that. I really like that. I think that's important. So I think I tend to agree, too, that this person is right on point with what they're saying, and that is, you know, the best way to maintain a happy spirit is to make a daily decision. I agree with you. Maybe you mm-hmm. can't be happy all the time, but you can mm-hmm. certainly do your best to try to be happy most of the time. This female writes in, she says, this other female writes in, she says, I seriously believe there are only two things that can upset you in life. One is people and the other is things. If you can get past both those without letting either of them get your spirit down, then I think you have discovered your treasure. So, you know, as I comment on this one here, there are two things that are likely to get to you, according to this individual. And I tend to agree with that. It's going to be the people or stuff and things, you know, stuff and things. So if you can get past letting people upset you in some way or another and perhaps developing that thick skin like Rose mentioned to some degree, then I think you have discovered a treasure. Jack, what are your thoughts on that? You know, if you can get past, if you can get past that thick skin, I mean, having that thick skin or anything along those lines, then, you know, and don't let people or stuff bother you. You're okay with that?
Yeah, somewhat. I think there's another one you can add to that thing. You can add to that too. Yeah, I know you said people and things, but people get upset over their health. Let's say you find out that you have a problem physically with your health or whatever. People let that bother them and they shouldn't, I mean, because you have no control over, unless you've gone out of your way to do something that, you know, you did to your body, and then all of a sudden it caused you to have that type of a problem that you're having. But for the most part, like you're saying, stuff and people, those are things that can make people upset. But again, you have to pick your battles. You have to pick, you know, what you're going to talk about and what's going to upset you. Don't let everything upset you. And also, you know, you don't even if you're upset with your significant other or even a friend, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. I mean, share with them how you feel, because the more it festers, the worse it's going to get. I mean, a little minute thing can become a mountain if you allow it to. So you want to deal with it sooner rather than later. And a lot of times people are too proud to say that I'm sorry. But it's okay to say that I'm sorry, so you can move past that. How long are you going to stay angry? Okay, I can't stay angry at anybody long. I mean, I need to move past that. That's why I have to share how I feel. So I'm going to let you know exactly how I feel so I can move past that, and so we can move past that and we can move on.
But, Jack, do you think that in letting people know how you feel, it can also, we can contribute to making others feel bad because we get it off of our chest and we present it to them in a way that they may be sensitive, but yet we're saying, you know what, I'm not going to let them hurt my feelings. I'm going to fight back by saying X, Y, and Z. And in doing so, it can really clearly hurt somebody else's feelings, and we're unaware. Do you think that that's possible?
Yeah, that's very possible. But they need to understand, too, that, okay, well, even though you're sharing with me how you feel, you're hurting my feelings. They need to come back and say that, well, the fact that you're sharing how you feel, that's an insult to me, or you're hurting me. Okay, so everybody needs to be straight up and to be as transparent as they possibly can, because you gotta let people know exactly how you feel or what's bothering you. You just said that it's those two things, basically, you know, people and stuff are the things that are going to get people upset. Okay, so share how you feel. And then if you're hurting that other person's feeling, that person should come back and be an adult. I think children, you know, fall out like that. But one thing about children, they're so impressionable, they come right back. They come right back and they bounce right back and they're ready to be friends again. We're the ones as adults, we're the ones that hold grudges for so long, you know, and it's like we can't make amends, you know, after we've said something that maybe hurt someone's feeling. But I really feel that we should do our best to try to make amends and try to come together at any cost.
And I think that becomes vitally important, Jack, as you're saying. And I think that is necessary. And I agree with you. Children tend to they fight, and then they can turn around and they can play again. And we as adults probably need to learn something from them, how to be able to
that's
do.
True.
You know. So let's take another comment here. This male writes in. He says it's not rocket science when it comes to maintaining a happy spirit. He says, I just say, just don't let anyone steal your joy. I mean, that's one way to look at it. Just don't let anybody steal your joy. Why let what they say or think impact your life in such a way that it's going to get you all discombobulated and get you out of character? What about that, Jack?
Well, that is true, because some people do that purposely, as I mentioned earlier. They're going to try to rattle you. If they know that if they rattle your feathers, then you're going to be so heated. You're going to show a sign how who you really are. And I've said this many times. You are what you are under pressure. But don't let someone rattle you to the point that it's going to trigger you to go off and be on the attack mode. Okay? Again, I have to keep saying this. Pick your battles. Say what you have to say, but you can say it in love. You can say it. I mean, I can say whatever I need to say without getting all upset. And now it's how you perceive it or how you accept it. You may not like it, but I'm saying sharing with you how I feel. And we don't do that enough. I think a lot of times we just hold it in, or we'll talk about it later on, or we'll talk about it to somebody else. But we need to let the person know how we feel.
Yeah, that is vitally important, and I agree with you. Let's look at I think that becomes important. But let me ask you this question. Should we always jump immediately to letting them know how we feel, or perhaps should we maybe wait if it's something that has upset us and we're not trying to do tit for tat, but should we simply just give it a while to think about it, or should we just think about it overnight, or do we jump right on the defense immediately and say, oh, no, I'm not going to go home with this. I'm not going to accept this. I'm going to let that person know right now how I feel and put it back to them. Or should you think about it, Jack?
If you don't, when you go home, you're going to say, man, I wish I had said this. You're going to say to yourself, I wish I had said this and all. I'm not saying that you need to do that in every case, because we need to pick, you know, what's important to us and what's not important to us. So I might sound off on this, and then again, if you say something that, you know, you're saying to a group of people and all, and you didn't mean to be offensive at all, I mean, I can let that ride too. But then if you are attacking me, for example, you know, in a group setting and all, I have to come out and say something on how I feel, right? And then again, sometimes I just let it roll off. Sometimes I just let it roll.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. So that's important. So not everything, if I'm hearing you correctly, not everything requires a response.
Is not everything, definitely not. Everything doesn't require a response. And we know that. We know that to be true. Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. Let's take a couple more comments, because we're about to bring the show to a close here. And let me just go ahead and take a look at just a couple more of these comments that have come into the studio. This female, she said, I learned a long time ago not to depend on someone else to make me happy or even to fulfill my joy. Instead, I find things to do that give me joy and fit others into that if they are the right fit. I mean, that sounds profound. She says she finds things to give her her own joy and happiness, and she fit people into that if they are the right fit. What do you think she's trying to say when she says if they are the right fit, Jack?
I think she's being a little bit selfish because of the fact that she's saying that if they're not the right fit, then she's not going to put them into her joy. My thing is this: I think we are talking about people that are close to us, family members, and our significant others. It's our duty, it's our responsibility to try to make each other happy. It's not just my job to make myself happy. It's my significant other's job to make me happy as well. And by the same token, you know, it's my job to make her happy. And, you know, even with family members, we are our brother's keeper. We're to, you know, assist them. We may have someone who's down, so it is our job to go in and try to perk that person up or to lift that person up. So I think it's more than just fitting someone into our mode of thinking. I think we should try our best to make that person happy, do whatever we can to make that person happy.
I think that that is important too, Jack. I really believe that. But ultimately, I do agree that we need to contribute to that as well. The final comment that we're going to be able to take, this male writes in. He says, I had to let go of several family members and friends who were simply too negative. It seemed every time I turned around, someone was bringing me negative news. And that really began to get on my nerves. So I made the decision to let go of these people from making contact with them so often. And my life is much better for it. I say be careful of your attachment to people or things. What do you think he's trying to say, Jack? I mean, he said there were negative family members and friends that he was encountering. Mm-hmm. And he had to end up letting them go.
Well, I don't think you should just let your family members go. I think that it deserves a comment that you share and let them know that, you know, I don't want to hear everything that's negative. I'm a very positive person, and it seems like every time we talk, everything that comes out of your mouth is something negative. Can you ever find anything positive to say about anybody? You got to let them know, and that's where it comes in, telling people, right? So you have to let them know.
So what if they're not open to what you're saying then, Jack? What are you doing?
Then, if they're not open to what you're saying, then you got to do what you need to do then. You got to do what you need to do, even if it means cutting the apron string, as they say.
Uh-huh.
Cutting the apron string. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So in some cases, it is necessary maybe to let people go, even when you didn't think to let them, that I wanted to let them go, but you find
right.
I gotta let this person go.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta let them go, because otherwise, like something Rose said earlier, it can't be. And who wants their health affected? Who wants their health affected?
No, shouldn't. No one wants that. The health to be affected by it, right? Mm-hmm.
So I think that becomes.
You're going in and out. I can hear you.
I'm sorry. So, in a nutshell, would you mm-hmm. say then that to maintain a happy spirit? In order to maintain a happy spirit, what is important? Give me five things, in your opinion, that are important to maintain a happy spirit. Five things.
Well, you gotta be loving. You got to be humble. You got to be caring. And love is reciprocated. Love should be reciprocated. So you got to show it, and then it's gonna come back to you. So all those things there, I think you got to be loving, caring. You got to let it be reciprocated, coming from you or the other person and all. And then you got to let another thing is you got to pick your battles, pick your battles as we talked about earlier. I think that's about five, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that that's vitally important. So on that, and I agree with you, and I think part of being happy, I think that part of being maintaining a happy spirit is, finding, taking stock, as Rose said even earlier, taking stock of your life, realizing what those things are that are important to you. And as long as it's not something that you're being selfish with, and something that, find your purpose in life, perhaps, joy. And
okay.
I believe that purpose and our joys are to, be out there and make other people, contribute to the uplifting of humanity. And I think that when we can do that, when we are out here and we're set out to say, you know what? I can contribute to society. I can uplift people in society. I can make a difference out here in society. I think that's when we find purpose. And I believe that, and we don't let other people tell us stuff that leads to negativity or selfishness. Then I believe that's when we are fulfilling life's purpose. When we can say, you know what? I'm making a contribution to society. I think that I'm making a difference by impacting someone's life in a positive way. And I think I'm a better person for that. And I'm not doing it for selfish gain to try to highlight myself so much, but I'm doing it because I believe that this is what God would have me to do, because ultimately I am my brother's keeper. And when when we can do it like that, I think Jack and Rose and those of you all that are listening out there, I think then, at the end of our sunsets, we can say, you know what? I think I did what I was called to do. Now, that's my thought on maintaining a happy spirit and a happy spirit. Jack, any final words from you?
Well, just let some things roll off. Everything is not your battle or something that you need to address. You pick them, you pick your battles, and then you take it from there, and just be loving and kind, meek, and humble, and allow the Lord to do the rest.
And I think on that note, we are clearly out of time, and I agree with you. Thank you, Jack and Rose, for being a part of our broadcast tonight, and I look forward to those of you all joining us this Friday for your half-hour inspiration program. Of course, you choose to bypass this Friday. Join us back here again live next Tuesday. Until Friday, until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.
All right.